we do this thing. Taking all fast lane, no coasting. Let's go, y'all. Of course, you know, for certain people, they want to say that he wasn't completely black and all this whole crazy stuff. You know, black people are the only people that try to take away the black card without ever having one established. We let in who we want to let in, almost anybody, and we kick out whoever we want to kick out. But we never fully do that because, you know, we're not really established that way anyway. But I'm not here to diss our people. What I am here to talk about this evening on the Daily Go Get'emism show is the impact that President Barack Hussein Obama had on the black community, the United States, and the world collectively. But when we start talking about the impact that he had on our people, you know, we're talking about a real serious thing. When Barack Obama was running for president of the United States back in 2008, there was so much promise surrounded around that. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I never thought that he would get elected until just right up until election night. I didn't think it was going to happen because it had never happened. There was no even real viable threat of it ever happening in our lifetime before. When Jesse Jackson ran for president of the United States before, we knew he never had a shot. He couldn't win any states. I think he won maybe one state or so in the primary, but he was never a candidate that anybody ever could really say was in the serious running to be president of the United States. And looking at it in retrospect, had Jesse Jackson won president of the United States, knowing what we know now about Jesse Jackson, it would have been a disaster. You know, you can't hire these people who have all of these skeletons in their closet and expect it to come out well. And we're really seeing that with Donald Trump. But just like Donald Trump and a whole lot of other clear people, a whole lot of other people, you know, Donald Trump gets the respect of a lot of black people that we would honestly never get, you know, from black men. And you see that with Barack Obama. But, you know, in the description of this show tonight, I had to go back to 2008, listen to a few speeches that he did, and ask myself, what did he promise black people in any of those speeches or any of those campaign rallies or debates? What did he ever say that he was going to do for black people specifically? Because I don't remember hearing any of those things. And I remember following this. But what did Barack Hussein Obama promise to black people that really let them down so much that they didn't seem to see while he was campaigning not once, but twice? What did we get? What happened here? How did we fall off the wagon? He campaigned in 2008 and won by landslide. He campaigned in 2012 and won by landslide. The first time beating John McCain, and the second time beating Mitt Romney. Both of them by landslide. So that lets me know that either he was a formidable foe or he pulled the wool over a lot of people's eyes. So let the conscious community, the black conscious community, tell it now. Yeah, he really, really pulled one over on them. And I'm thinking, like, what? You know, with our people tend to have lofty expectations of each other after the fact, you know, black people as opposed to any other culture, I hear us always talking about who sold us out, who did us wrong, who set us back, who didn't do anything for us. And I listen to this shit. And one thing about us, and I'm not trying to diss us, but there's some things that are true about black people that they have to look themselves in the look in the mirror about, and they don't want to do it. And one of those things is our expectations of things and of people, particularly politicians and anybody else who handles a lot of money. We have these big expectations of people who handle large sums of money. We don't have that much expectations for the middle class, for the small man, for those who are in the community. You know, just keeping it a buck. You know, we don't raise the bar of our expectations for our treatment of each other. I mean, just real shit. We don't raise our bar of expectations when it comes to our treatment of each other. You know, helping each other out, building with each other, uniting with each other for more causes before the fact, instead of when a white police officer kills one of us and we're having vigils and rallies and protests and all of that stuff. I'm talking about the proactive stuff. We don't have a lot of expectations for that. You know, I live in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the crime rate is through the roof, but the murder rate is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And it's all black on black crime. It's all black on black murder. Murder, 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 murder. And these are young people. So we don't place our expectations even on our young people. I'm talking 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old, 8. Our murder rate for the age range of the black age range of 15 years old to 18 years old is horrifying. It's horrific. It really, really is. And that's whether we're talking about the victims or the perpetrators. It's crazy. It really is. Well, we haven't raised the bar of our expectations for that. It just seems to be something that's out of our control. And once again, I'm not trying to diss, but this is real shit. So when I hear us talking about how Barack Obama set us back years socially, politically, financially, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? How do you set a people back that were already in the basement? Where do you go from the basement? How far down do you go from the basement? The dungeon? A underground bunker? What are we talking about? Outside of our stories of Black Wall Street, Rosewood, what were some of the other sprawling black communities that were ruined by white violence? I mean, you could say Wilmington, North Carolina, but you can't say Wilmington, North Carolina at the same time, because although that it was a tragic situation in Wilmington, North Carolina, that wasn't a place where black people had like overwhelming ownership and were creating a utopian style society for themselves. You can't say that. So when I hear that Barack Obama did us such a disservice, I'm thinking like, well, I'm 53 years old. I just turned 53 years old, August 12th. And I'm thinking, all right, so if I take from the time I was born to the time I was 10, what condition were black people in? And my memory is good.
and our condition was not good. So, all right, so let's take it from the time I was 10 to 20 years old in the 80s. What was our condition? It was ridiculously bad with the crack era. Okay, so let's take it from the 80s. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, the 80s to the, well, I say the 90s until 2000, when I'm turning 30. We're still in the crack era. The entire 90s, we were still in the crack era, to the point where we started glorifying the crack era. That's when you, in the beginning of 1990, there was nobody running around here supporting crack use, crack sales, or anything like that. It was purely a survival tactic that was employed by some, and a coping technique, a coping mechanism that was used by the users. But in the year 2000, we started hearing in our music the glorification of selling crack and making sounding like you were using crack. We started making jokes out of it, like it was kind of funny. It wasn't that bad, you know. These are the people in your neighborhood. Yeah, if you go back and listen to the rap music from 1990 to 2000, what do you have? You have some of the southern rappers coming in glorifying selling crack, like Master P, like the Cash Money Millionaire, like Wu-Tang, like Nas, like Jay-Z. All of these rappers started in the 90s, and all of them that I named glorified selling crack. It was just something that we do. This is how we get ahead. You know, we surviving out here. So it kind of lets you know the condition of our people, even in regards to how we relate that experience into our entertainment, our music, our media. All right, so let's go from 2000 to 2010. What was the condition of our black people? Now, from 2000 to 2010, now we have a black president. So what was the condition of our people that he was faced to fix? How are we doing? From 2000 to 2010, what was the condition of black people? Because from 2000 to 2010, I'm in my 30s, and Barack Obama was elected in 2008. So he was elected to another term between 2010 and 2020. So in my 53 years, around the sun, what was the condition of our people that Barack Obama set back? Now, I don't have any vested interest in defending anybody, whether they are my neighbors, my family, my lovers, my especially a politician. But you're not going to just sit by and tell me that our first undisputed black president of the United States set us back in any way. I'm not trying to hear it, but I'm open. I'm always open to truth and understanding. So I'm ready to hear it. And I would like to know what y'all think about this, because I know that y'all have heard similar things to what I've heard. You know, Barack Obama didn't do nothing for us. He didn't do nothing for us. He didn't do nothing for us. I'm like, what did he tell y'all he was going to do? Now, I have heard some politicians who were running for president of the United States specifically say what they would do for the black community. But I don't remember Barack Obama saying exactly what he would do for the black community. And part of it is I don't think that he would have gotten elected if he even went down that road. And him being as smart as he is, I don't think that he went down that road. It would have been political suicide if the first black president, undisputed black president, or the first undisputed black presidential nominee went in saying all of the things that he was going to do for the black community as opposed to saying what he was going to do for the community or the American community as a whole. I don't think that he would have gotten elected if he went in there sounding like he had a little bit of, I don't know, Malcolm X in him, or Louis Farrakhan in him, or Chuck D in him, or even any Jesse Jackson in him. He wouldn't have got elected. I don't think he would have gotten elected, but he did manage to get elected twice. And what I remember when he got elected is black people across the world crying and sobbing and congratulating and saying, well, finally, I didn't think we could do it. People who never thought that they would ever see a black president in our lifetime, which would be me, we saw something that we never thought that we would ever feast our eyes on. And now, all of a sudden, we're treating it like, this is something that we never should have done. Reminds me of something interesting. But we're going to get into all of that, man. Listen, I'm just giving y'all my thoughts like I normally do. I would love to hear from y'all on this topic. I really want to know, what did Barack Obama promise black people that he was going to do that he didn't deliver on? And for all of the conscious community that says he didn't do one thing for black people, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Now, for me, my expectations of him were low, I must admit. I'd be lying if I said that I didn't vote for Barack Obama strictly because he was black. I'd be lying if I said I didn't do that. And I'd be lying if I ever say that I wouldn't do that for another black candidate. I believe in black representation. Anywhere I go, I believe in black representation. I believe that I like to see myself and my people wherever I go. Because when I'm, as opposed to a lot of us other niggas, I feel safe, secure, and happy when I see black faces. I do. I feel a camaraderie. I feel a kinship. And they say that all skin folk ain't kin folk. Well, we know that. Everybody ain't my cousin. But the cousins that are my cousins, and I treat my cousins like my cousins. All skin folk don't have to be my kin folk. But my kin folk that are my kin folk, I expect to act like my kin folk. And sometimes my kin folk just be acting like my skin folk. Let's get into it. Get into it, y'all. Black people be mad at them some of Barack Obama. Black people be mad at them some Barack Obama. Mad at them some Barack Obama. Mad at them some Barack Obama. But when he left office, there was a lot of drama. They was like, Donald Trump is coming in. This is the biggest cardinal sin. I don't think that things would be no better behind this one. This is bad, son. Yeah, 4 years later, people kissing the feet of this man. Are y'all crazy? I didn't think we could or we can do this type of shit, but you know, I shouldn't be surprised at nothing that we do. Anytime black people support anything European, I should never be surprised about that, because that's what we do. Anytime we put down each other
or fail to unite with each other, or even fail to understand each other, I should never be surprised. But sometimes I am. A lot of times I am. Because my bar of expectations are never low for our people. They're always high. But so is my realism. What's going on, Stacey White? Good to see me some you. And also, Carol Chamberlain, thanks for coming on through. And what up, Care Bear? Thanks for always being there. And Unique, yo, glad to hear you come through and speak. Care Bear says, and the executive made sure that's what they push. Push. Dang, I'm lost now. The rec executive? Care Bear says, black people charged him with the task of correcting all social and economic injustice once he was in office. Yeah, they did. But the thing is, they didn't do that while he was in office. They waited until he left. Now they want to tally up the score. I don't remember any black people calling him on the carpet about what he wasn't doing for us while he was here. I'm not saying that they didn't do it, but I don't remember it. Now, was that a form of solidarity while he was in, and maybe us fronting after he's gone or after the fact? Could be. It wouldn't be anything new. It wouldn't be anything new. But it's funny how we do each other after the fact. But I tell you what, that freshly charged of 93 counts of indictments, that orange mug, you know how black people, too many of us grow up without paternal representation. In other words, we grow up in single parent households with single mothers. Our fathers aren't in our lives. And you know how some people feel about being raised by their single mothers without their fathers being there. And some people, a lot of people, really, our people, really, really hold it against their fathers for not being there when they were growing up. And I think that that's justified. But I've never heard anybody say that their father who didn't raise them, their father who cheated on their mother, their father who abandoned the family, their father who went and took care of another woman's family or a woman's kid. I never heard them say, you know, you set black people back years in what you did. I've never even heard them say, you set us back as a family for not being there. As mad as I know that some people are against their at their fathers for not being there, and that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. I've known a lot of people that grew up without their father, and they mad at them, and they can't let it go. To this day, some of those people I know, fathers are still alive, and some of those people that I know, their fathers have passed, and they still ain't got over it. So you want to tell me that a man that you didn't even know, somebody you never even spoke to, maybe like your father, maybe not, but somebody that has nothing to do with you or your bloodline, he set you and your people back years socially, politically, financially, community-wise? What? What are you talking about? How? How? I want to know what he said that he was going to do. I'm going to tell you some things that he did do. He got rid of the Rockefeller laws. He got rid of the Rockefeller laws. That's what Barack Obama did. So the Rockefeller laws dealt with unfair and unbalanced sentencing guidelines for cocaine, for powder cocaine versus crack cocaine. So back in the 80s, back in the 90s, under Bill Clinton, it was determined, actually, this might have been in the Reagan era during the war on drugs, but you got these really light sentences for being caught with large sums of powder cocaine. So you could be caught with 50 kilos of cocaine, of powder cocaine, straight from Bolivia, straight from Colombia, straight from Peru, and expect to only serve maybe 10, 15 years in jail. And you might make it home earlier than that. Meanwhile, you get caught with 50 grams, yes, 50 grams of crack cocaine, and they damn near trying to give you life. During the Clinton administration, we had the three strikes, you know, that popular 94 crime bill that everybody comes at Joe Biden about. Well, that was under the Bill Clinton administration. And guess what? That was black people who wanted that, not white people. It was black people who wanted that. So that same crime bill that all these black people said, well, you know, Joe Biden, he can't stand black people in the 94 crime bill. It was black people who pushed that crime bill. It was actually the white politicians. It pains me to say this truth, but it's the truth. The black clergy wanted this. The black legislators, black representatives, they wanted those harsh crack sentencing guidelines because they felt like crack was ruining their communities and making it dangerous for the children to go out, dangerous for seniors and anybody to walk the streets because it was, you know, there was so many robberies and so many deaths because of drug wars and stuff like that associated with cocaine. So black people who were associated with crack cocaine more than anybody else who were affected by the negative aspects of the crack epidemic than anybody else, they were the ones who pushed for the 94 crime bill. And now we are the ones who act like it wasn't us. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yeah, Joe Biden helped to draw it up. He helped draw it up. But he was ready for people to be like, no, this is crazy. And another thing about the 94 crime bill, which was the three strikes and you get a life sentence, in other words, if some of y'all aren't familiar with the 94 crime bill and how it worked was, if you were convicted of a felony, a repeat offender three times for felony convictions, then you received a life sentence of 25 years. 20 or 25 years. I believe it was 25 years. But that wasn't for only black people. That's the thing that black people try to sweep under the rug. The 94 crime bill was not just for black people. It was for anybody who committed a felony three times. They were listed as a career criminal if you were convicted of a felony conviction three times under the 94 crime bill. So you get caught with small or large amounts of cocaine three times, which pushed it up to a felony, then you were in jail for life, for a life sentence. And it was black people who pushed that envelope. They demanded it. Listen, you don't have to believe me. Look it up. Google it. Study it. Read all about it. It was us. So Barack Obama said, nah, we not doing that. Those Rockefeller laws, they got to go. They got to go. We can't have people, there's no difference between crack and cocaine. There are differences in the way that it makes you get high, but crack is a cocaine derivative. So how are you going to treat the derivatives with harsher penalties than the pure stuff? But that's exactly what happened. So he got rid of that. That's something that directly benefited black people. But whenever I bring that up, they want to be like, ah, yeah, that wasn't nothing. Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. Ask your brother and your cousins that been locked up for crack
for all those years when they was just trying to make some money to feed their daughter. Like when they was just trying to make some money to feed their daughter. When they was just trying to make some money. You know, they told the D's on them when they was just trying to make some money to feed their daughter.
And it's funny because a few minutes ago I was talking about how we glorified selling crack in our music in the 90s. Well, that would be the Notorious B.I.G. now, wouldn't it?
Shout out to everybody who called the cops on me when they knew I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. They knew I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah. What up, Mia Cunningham? What up, bringing it, boy? On the Blog Talk side, thanks for coming on through. Appreciate you. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Carol says, they expected him to save. Talking about Donald Trump. They expected him. Oh, no, you might be talking about Obama. They expected him to save them like we were the only people he was supposed to save from any foes. Interesting. Yeah, Carol said, you get an automatic life sentence for crack. Yeah. So Barack Obama got rid of that.
And there's another thing that I want to go over about how black people want to say, like when I say, well, you know, Barack Obama he didn't make any catastrophic mistakes. So even if he wasn't the best president in somebody's eyes, for him to be the first black president, he didn't mess things up for anybody else who wanted to be president. And that's huge. That is huge. He did not close the door for the next black qualified politician who wants to become president of the United States. He didn't mess that up. That is huge. It's enormous. But they want to say, nah, he just put on a good face for black people. We don't need that. Oh, you don't need that. Oh, I hear you, black man. You don't need nobody just putting on a good face. Really? Really? But when your fucking felony ass gets, when your newly released, still on probation or parole ass gets out of jail and you need a job. And you need a job. And it's hard for you to get a good job because your felony conviction is making it hard for you to get a decent job other than being like a dishwasher, you know, wearing the black and white checkered pants in the back of somebody's restaurant. Yeah. Yeah, let's be honest about this shit. That's another thing that Barack Obama did. He took away that, you know, of felons can't get any decent jobs anymore, or their felony conviction eliminate you from being able to get certain jobs. He did that. But nobody wanna talk about that though. They don't wanna talk about that. They don't wanna talk about that. They quick to come out of their mouth. Well, name one thing that he did for black people. And I say, well, I'll name you too. Ah, yeah, but he just put on a good face. I'm like, oh. Just put on a good face. So symbolism is not important to black people anymore. Yeah, we don't need no symbols. We need real change. We need real policy. Y'all motherfuckers didn't even know nothing about no policy before Barack Obama became president. You know what I remember about Barack Obama being president? Real shit. You know what I remember most? I remember hearing all of these black people becoming political scholars all of a sudden. Talking about some, oh, the president of the office of the president of the United States is not even really the boss. The president don't have no real power. That's what I heard people saying when Barack Obama was president. That's what only heard black people saying that shit. All of a sudden, you overstand. You done went to school and actually listened to what was being talked about in your civics classes and in your and in your social studies and history classes. All of a sudden, you remember. I didn't hear nobody ever say, let's say, I'll just go by the presidents in my lifetime. I never heard nobody say that Richard M. Nixon didn't really have no power. I never heard nobody say that Gerald Ford didn't really have no power. I never heard nobody say that Jimmy Carter never had no real power. I never heard nobody say. Why did y'all need him? When y'all, when no black people were winning any Oscars, and we just talking about entertainment, right? We just talking about images, right? Similar, symbolism. When there weren't any black people on your TV and in your movies, or no black people getting hired at the businesses, so they were getting no opportunities, when no black people could get raises, or they couldn't get any promotions, or they couldn't move in places, or go to school in places. All of that stuff is symbolism and imagery. And y'all fought for all of that shit. Y'all marched for all of that shit. Y'all pushed for all of that shit. But when the black man becomes president of the United States and shows the whole world that not only can we be on TV, not only can we be in the movies, not only can we be in sports, not only can we be in business, but we can have the high, we can operate from the highest office in the whole world. But symbolism don't mean that. But symbolism don't mean that. Okay. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Symbolism don't mean nothing. If symbolism and imagery don't mean nothing for black people, I want Will Smith to give his Oscar back or have it revoked. Jamie Foxx, go back and take away Sidney Poitier's. Denzel. Give that Oscar back. Hattie McDaniel. Any of them. I don't care whether you won Best Actor, Actress, Halle Berry, or Best Supporting. Give them all back. We don't need that imagery. That ain't doing nothing for us. Because if a black president is doing nothing for black people, then you ain't gonna tell me that Sherman Hemsley and the Jeffersons was doing anything for us. Bill Cosby. None of y'all motherfuckers. When it's us doing something for us, then it's worthless. But when it's them doing something to us or for us, now it's a big deal. Wait a minute. Do you hear me now, Bringing It Boy? I know that the stream got cut off a little bit. Let me see. All right, let me read some of y'all comments. My bad. So we have two callers on the Blog Talk side, and I want to take these calls. All right, this is what I'm going to do. Wait, 7:59. I know I told Joe to call in. I told him to call in early. And caller with the last number is 3943. Ugh.
Audio problems. Audio problems. Mayday. Mayday. Listen, y'all. I want to take y'all calls, but my audience won't be able to hear y'all if I take the call. Like, the Blog Talk it's not set up versus my other platforms the way it used to be. Let me see if I can. All right, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah. Symbolism don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. All right. Hold on. Hold on. No. Hold on. Hold on. Let me see. Joe, I'm going to try to call you and see if we can work it out that way. Let me see. 3, 2, 3. I hung up. He hung up. All right. All right, good. Bringing it boy back on the Blog Talk side. Oh, damn. I messed around and let the feed run out. But thanks for coming through. Appreciate you. But yeah, man. You know, we want to say that symbolism don't mean, like, what are you talking about? I just want to know what Barack Obama promised these motherfuckers. You know what? People, the way the conscious community, these so-called pro-black conscious motherfuckers do, the way they do Barack Obama, you would think, all right, the worst that I've ever seen a black man be done in this world, especially in death, was Kevin Samuels. When Kevin Samuels died last year, I have never heard black people talk down to the dead like that, as if they knew him personally, as if he had done something to them personally. I've never heard anybody do anybody like that. It was scary to me. Like, yo, black people don't really do that. We are normally the most forgiving people in this world, to a fault, but it made sense. Because we are forgiving of everybody except for ourselves. We'll hold ourselves accountable and act like we really did something to each other when we ain't really do nothing. But when we are disenfranchised, when we are enslaved, when we are disproportionately incarcerated, without proper evidence or justification, when we are cheated out of our money, when we are firebombed out of our homes, when all of those things happen, we are forgiving. But when Kevin Samuels told black women that they need to get their shit together if they expect to have a man with his shit together, they was like, oh, hell no. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, 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 you don't, Kevin Samuels. You are wrong. We are queens. Like, I ain't never seen no queen with no green hair, with a BBL, fake titty, acting a fool, showing a body, taking off her clothes on OnlyFans, shaking her ass, fighting for her right to twerk. I ain't never seen no queen do that. And who is you? Because, you know, entitled black women, they always want to turn the camera back on you when you start dissing or you start showing. Like, listen, you on some bullshit, ma. Well, who you? You broke, motherfucker. What you got? You ain't got nothing. You ain't bringing nothing to this. You ain't. That's what they do. And that's how they did Kevin Samuels. But they did him so bad in his death, I've never seen anything like that before. It was disgusting. It was kind of scary. It was. But flashback to Barack Obama, that's kind of like what I see people doing. That's what I see the conscious community do to Barack Obama. Is it just me? It might just be just me. It could be. It could just be me. You know how I am. I'm always y'all mean and y'all saying.
Mia says Kevin was disrespectful. I saw a lot of women being very disrespectful to him. I saw him keep it real with a lot of chicks. Anyway, that motherfucker had 5 million followers. 5 million. He had to be saying something good. I wasn't even one of his followers. But nonetheless, when we start talking about how Barack Obama didn't do nothing for black people, nothing. I'm like, define nothing, because I see something. I see something. No. Carol says they tried so hard to dig up anything negative on Obama's family because they were black, but nothing stuck. Nothing stuck. Try that with Donald Trump. Speaking of Donald Trump, I got to say this before we get on the body here. This is what black people remind me of when they trying to make or paint Barack Obama as the worst thing that ever happened to black people. Because I've even heard Dr. Umar say this dumb shit. Now, y'all know I rock with Dr. Umar with his crazy ass, but come on, Umar. Come on, Umar. Well, how you going to say that Barack Obama didn't do nothing for black people and he was bad for black? Come on, Umar. I got to turn the mirror on you, Umar. Like, what, really? Really? Really, dog? When you getting in this petty wars with Sidnetta and any of those other conscious community cats, when y'all going back and forth trading barbs and you running around here talking about how much money you got and these broke-ass so-called conscious and you King Kong conscious and you the prince of the conscious community. Anyway, where I was going with that was, so y'all want to say that he was the worst thing that ever happened to y'all, and damn, I fucked around and lost the thought. No, his school hasn't opened yet. He's still asking for money, yo. Hit the Cash App. Hit the Cash App. Hit the PayPal. Hit the PayPal. Hit the GoFundMe. Hit my personal number. Here's my personal number. Call me, but only if you got some money. Black queens forever. Snow bunnies never. I fuck with Umar, but yeah, these conscious community cats, they kill me with this bullshit. They do. Because they are never on their game. And one thing I didn't talk about on this show that I wanted to talk about is one thing that black people don't seem to understand, as, you know, I hear the conscious community talk about or regular black people talk about, Barack Obama only did things for the rainbow people, the LGBTQ. He did everything for the LGBTQ. Well, here's a lesson in politics, and this is going to be very unpopular, what I'm about to say, but if I don't say it, then it means that it hasn't been said another time, and it needs to be said now. Politics is about money. Politics is about money. Politics is about money. Politics is about money. And black people do not give money to political campaigns. It's a fact. It's an absolute fact. It's as much of a fact as black people not knowing how to swim. It's a fact. You can dispute it all you want. And yeah, there are some black people who know how to swim, just like there are some black people who give to political campaigns. But it ain't making a dent in those political campaigns. So when you see the LGBTQ getting everything that they asked for when Obama was in office, it's because they paid for it. The office of the president is like being a store. And you can get whatever you want to out of this store, but you got to pay for it. Black people don't seem to understand that their vote is for free. Black people be waiting for somebody to pay for their vote, and it's not going to happen. Nobody's vote gets paid for. But people who vote pay. Some people who vote pay, like interest groups. Interest groups like the LGBTQ. They paid for his campaign, and so he had to pay them back. And he pays them back in policy. So when you wonder why the Asians got a protection bill for them before black people did, it's because Asians pay forward. They have money. They have a centralized financial unit that gives them money. They are able to lobby. I know that niggas don't want to hear this shit. I know it. And that's why I got to say it. And I'm going to tell you this, whether it's Barack Obama or Donald Trump or Joe Biden or any other president going forward, black people ain't never going to get nothing until they start paying for something. I'm sorry. You're not going to get your reparations through politics. Every law, every bill, every policy has a dollar amount on it. Every single one. And the president of the United States is the CEO that manages that shit. And until you understand that, black people, black man, woman, and child, you're going to keep being mad at people like Barack Obama. Because Barack Obama was like the store. The president of the United States is like the store. And you can get whatever you want to out of the store if you pay for it. Black people don't want to pay for it. They want to steal from it. Or they want the store to give them something for free. And it doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way with any other presidents before Obama. It didn't work with Obama. And it didn't work after Obama. And it ain't never going to work. So understand this, black people. Black man, woman, and child. You have to fuel money into campaigns if you want policies for black people. And here's the problem with this. Black people don't have a centralized financial institution that has a vested interest in any one policy or idea. You cannot name one black policy, idea, interest, or anything that 80% of black people will get behind. You can't name one. I challenge you. Not even racism. Definitely not community or any of that shit. We don't have it. We don't agree on anything, and we don't unite on anything. So we're never going to pull our resources, or should I say, until we pull our resources and say, all right, this is, I don't know, 500,000 of us out of a potential 30, 40, 50 million of us in the United States. This is 500,000 of us who are taking our money, and this is what we want. But I tell you one thing, if you get 500,000 of y'all and y'all put money where you want your policy to be, you're going to get it. And hopefully that opens up your mind because you will have finally figured this thing out. No, Joe Biden didn't just promise y'all a bunch of shit and deliver it to y'all. You got to pay for it. Your vote is free. Your policies are paid for. Your vote is free. Your policies are paid for. You ain't got to like it. You can be mad at me. You can call me wrong, but you won't be able to prove me wrong. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. August 25th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Cherry McKenzie. Turning 44 years old today, and Dinette Reese, happy birthday to you, and my girl go-getter LaShonda Kellum, happy birthday to you, and Missing D-Ski, my cuz, my young cuz, turning 34 years old today, and he's a last but least. I want to say happy birthday to all y'all. I said a happy birthday to all y'all. And I hope that today finds you all a good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And that goes to each and everybody else out there who shares this birthday when it's glorious, glorious, glorious. August 25th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn the rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do the thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard. Go for yours. And remember, man, you can hate Obama all you want. But until you learn how the game goes, you're going to be mad at a whole lot of people when the only person you have to be mad at is probably yourself. You cannot win a game that you don't know the rules to. So learn the rules to politics, and then you might stop being mad at the wrong people and start actually holding the right people accountable. Until then, you're going to be still out here looking for a handout, and ain't nobody going to give you shit but a bunch of smoke and mirrors. Shout out to Barack Obama. Shout out to all of the black leaders, the black warriors, the conscious, real black men and women who have fought out here for our liberation over these years. Shout out to all y'all. All right. Make sure y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. We will be back tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. for another Urban Therapy with Sun show. Thank y'all for coming through, listening to me flap my gums, go on this rant for this past hour. I apologize a little bit, but you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Emily Dunlap talking bullshit. It's all good. She mad because she not a Leo. I know how it be. All right, y'all. All right, so I said, Blog Talk, I'm going to get you out of here. Yeah, 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 yeah.